and welcome to the UK and Ireland Minnesota Vikings Fan Club podcast. I am your host and co-president, Mr. Richard Dawson. I am joined today by my two amigos, Vice President and all-round nice guy, Mr. John McDonald, and show producer and co-president, Mr. Reese Field. How are we doing tonight, gentlemen? Haha, got you.
Yeah, you stumped us there, haven't you?
Okay, sorry.
How are we doing tonight, gentlemen? Go f*** yourself, San Diego.
Well, I'm still going to have to do it, otherwise there'll be a rebellion. So say hello, gentlemen.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hello, gentlemen.
Oh, sexy. I'm very excited tonight because today is mock draft week. We have been building up to this moment. It feels like the most exciting thing we can do before an actual draft. So we are going to go through picks 1 to 5 and then have a little bit of a break. And then we're going to go through picks 6 to 11. Do we keep 11? Does anyone still have 11 by the time we get to that? And then finish off the rest of the first round. See who picks who. See who goes where. I'm excited. I'm excited. Are you excited, guys?
Very.
Absolutely.
Good stuff. Right. Come on then, let's get into it. So we've all been preparing this week, thinking about what's going to happen. Like I say, I'm addicted to mock drafts and I must have done, well, countless, far too much hours spent sat down trying to figure out what is going to happen on draft night. But we have now done one official mock draft each. What is going to happen on draft night? So we're going to go through picks 1 to 5. I think pick one is going to be fairly nailed on, but you never know what happens on draft night, stays on draft night. John, who have you got at number one?
With the first pick of the 2024 draft, Chicago Bears pick, Caleb Williams. Big shock.
Absolutely. Zero surprises. He's basically already moved in and bought a house in Chicago. I saw all the furore over him painting nails and having different phone covers at certain sporting events that he's been to. I mean, if people don't remember Dennis Rodman, the guy is going to fit in to Chicago like a glove. Reese, who have you got at pick one?
It's obviously Caleb Williams, quarterback, USC.
Yeah, and it'll be absolutely no surprise at all to see on my mock draft that Caleb Williams has also gone to Chicago. The least surprising thing, and if you can get any odds above evens, stick your mortgage on it because he is going there and it's a guaranteed payout. So let's move on to pick two. John, you're on the clock.
With the second overall pick, the Washington Commanders pick Jaden Daniels.
Jaden Daniels. Now, there's a few stories coming out. Is that going to happen? Is not going to happen? Is Drake May the flavour of the hour? We don't really know. Reese, who have you got at two?
I've got Drake May, North Carolina. I'm going with the league-wide consensus on this one that Drake May will be that number two overall pick.
I don't know. I think Washington have set up for Daniels. They've got Mariota there, and Daniels is a lot more like Mariota than May is. So I think that's the way they're going to go. That's why I've got Daniels going second.
Why get rid of Sam Howell, though? Because Sam Howell was a sneaky good runner with the ball. This is something that people forget. Now, I know they've moved on from Sam Howell. They've got Mariota through the door. I know I've made the comparisons between Mariota and Daniels myself. But, you know, Sam Howell wouldn't have been a bad backup to have had in that situation.
I think that they are going to pick a quarterback, but with the second pick of the 2024 NFL draft, I've got the Washington Commanders taking J.J. McCarthy. Now, I can see you both reacting to that news as I would expect you to react to that news, but there's reasons why I think it could potentially happen. It's not the most absurd thing that anyone could say. J.J. McCarthy, his stock is rising, and it is rising fast. And I also think that the Washington Commanders have made historically bad decisions over the past few years. So it's not unlikely that they would make a historically bad decision in this draft. Do I think he will go in top two? Do you know what? I think anywhere outside of Caleb Williams at the minute, balls are in the air. It's a juggle fight. Anyone could go at any position, and I've got the Commanders taking JJ McCarthy at two.
Silly then, aren't you?
He's going back to the old Commanders ownership, apparently. But no, I'd rather they pick him at two than us trade up and get him. You know, in the early first, like the first five picks, I'd rather go and see him go somewhere else to take that option away. I just don't feel like he's worth the price to go up that high to get him. So yeah, your pick makes more sense in trading up and taking him ourselves.
John, what do you think?
Well, I'm going to be, I don't want to give away my draft here, but yeah.
Okay. Right. Let's swiftly move on to pick three. John, you're on the clock.
With the third overall pick, the New England Patriots pick Drake May, quarterback, North Carolina.
Drake May, my favourite quarterback of the draft. I would love to go up and get him. I just think he's going to be too expensive. And I have also got New England Patriots taking Drake May at three. And there is another nuance to this. There is going to be a quarterback that slides in the draft. There always is. And on my draft, Jaden Daniels has not been picked yet. Reese, who have you got at three?
I've got Jaden Daniels. I just feel like Drake May isn't quite the right pick for New England. And if he was the one to slide to New England, I think they'd trade out. But New England are a team, you know, they're a hot mess, that roster. So taking a quarterback that can take a lot of things off schedule, not to mention, you know, they also had a shot at Lamar Jackson, passed up on him famously. You know, do they want to risk making the same mistake again? That this is a similar caliber player that's being talked about, you know, coming from college. Of course, you know, Jackson's gone on multiple MVPs now. Will Daniels hit those heights? Probably not in New England, but I feel like he is, you know, a game wrecker on his own. You know, he can make plays, he can do things off schedule. And I feel like it's too good an opportunity for the Patriots to pass off.
I don't disagree. I think that with the new structure they've got at New England, it's an easy thing to do to take a quarterback who's a little bit off schedule, because then if it doesn't quite work out, then is it the quarterback's fault? Is it the coach's fault? Is it the new setup fault? All sorts of different reasons. I think that Daniels at three sort of makes sense. But like I say, John, you've got a fairly ordinary, fairly expected top three picks. Reese, you've got a fairly expected top three picks. Who is the quarterback that is going to slide? Because there will be one. There always is one.
Well, should we go on to pick number four then, Mr. Rich?
Ooh, let's get into it. John, you're on the clock. Who have you got pick four?
With the fourth overall pick, the Minnesota Vikings trade up. With the Arizona Cardinals giving up our two firsts this year, our first next year, and receiving a third back from the Cardinals to pick JJ McCarthy.
Here we go. Quarterback of the future slides into the building. Is he going to sit behind Sam Darnold for a year? Probably. I think whoever we bring in is going to sit for at least the first four or five games. But does that feel expensive for JJ McCarthy? Two firsts, three firsts, getting back a third. I mean, I could get picked in the third. But Reese, what do you think of that deal?
If you're trading up to four, I think it's what you have to pay because the quarterback tax. But I don't feel like he is worth it. If not, I don't get why JJ McCarthy's stock has climbed so much after the college season. He didn't have to go put the team on his back in college. You know, he had a run game that he could effectively hide behind, you know, that could mask him, and he didn't really ever have to put the team on his back and win the game himself. You never had to go to JJ McCarthy. Okay, you've got 1 minute and two timeouts to drive the entire length of the field and score a touchdown to win us the game. You didn't have to do that to him. And I feel like that's where he falls behind the other quarterbacks. He is the fourth best quarterback in the draft, without a doubt. But to take him at fourth overall is a reach. I get why there's the reach. I get why you made the reach, John. But for me, I don't feel like... I feel like if you're taking best player available, you know, I feel like McCarthy's in the mid-teens in terms of who's like the best player available.
It's true he's risen up the draft board a lot since the end of the season and everything like that. And I'll tell you exactly why he's risen up the draft board. Because that is when the coaches can sit back. They've not got to worry about the teams playing and everything. They can sit back and watch his tape. And all the coaches have fallen in love with him. And that is exactly why he's risen up that draft board. They're going, I can work with that. That is an awesome quarterback. I want to work with that. We've got a former quarterback as our head coach. He's fallen in love with him. That is why we're going up that much. And that is why we are getting him.
Do you know what? I can totally understand that reasoning, John. Lots of people having meetings now. This is it. This is getting into the nitty gritty. I mean, to be fair, our season was over by week 10. So we could have started watching that tape then. But do we go up to fourth? The only reason why I can't see us going up to fourth, if it doesn't happen, is because the Cards need a superstar. And they've got Murray on a boatload of money, and he's going to need to throw the ball to someone. So when you've got a wide receiver in the draft, the supposed caliber of Harrison, then do they trade away their pick? I'm not sure they do.
Well, I completely agree with you, Rich. And you know, we've both got fourth overall pick. It's Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver, Ohio State. And yet he is the best player in the draft, non-quarterback. And yeah, I feel like you need to give your expensive quarterback weapons, just like the Vikings did. Draft a good receiver when you have an expensive quarterback. It's the only way you can win games in this league. You can't go out there with an expensive quarterback and not have any playmakers that he can get the ball to.
I'd agree with that.
In all fairness, I believe the Cardinals will trade back up with our picks to try and get a decent either Romeo or try, maybe if they can get Harrison Jr. after that. But what we've given them will allow them to trade up.
It's an odd one. That fourth and fifth pick in this year's draft is a very odd one, because with the quarterback needy teams in the draft, they're going to overpay for them two spots. No doubt about it. So as a GM thinking, well, if someone's going to overpay for it, then surely I would want that overpay. But if someone, I mean, we've just talked about Lamar not going to the Pats. The beautiful thing about hindsight is a GM either looks great because of it, or he looks absolutely ridiculous because of it. And I don't think, because of the what's happening with Kyler Murray, and he's a very Marmite quarterback, I don't think they're going to take the chance and the risk this time round. I think they're going to pick the best player in the draft. And Rich, you said the best non-quarterback in the draft. If we were being honest, quarterbacks come at a premium, but is he the best player in the draft? Probably.
Yeah, I'd say without a doubt the best non-quarterback, and that's why I find it very hard to compare, you know, because the quarterback, it's the most important position in sports. You know, made a great point there, Rich, about GMs. When they don't pick the player, they can look like geniuses. And that's what most of the GMs in the league did last year by not taking Will Levis.
Yeah, good point. He was the sliding quarterback last year. Banana eating, with skin on, mayonnaise, coffee drinking. His PR did nothing for him before the draft last year. And people got a little bit scared of him, I think.
Should we move on to number five?
Number five. Last one in this segment. John, you're on the clock. Who are you picking at five?
With the fifth overall pick, the Los Angeles Chargers pick Marvin Harrison Jr. Absolutely. I agree with you guys. For me, he is the best player in this draft. QBs included. Everyone says he's a future Hall of Famer already. People are already measuring him for his golden jacket. He is absolutely sensational, but yeah.
Usually you'll hear people say he's the best or he's the best. It's so unanimous what people think of Harrison Jr. It just is going to be a great. I'd be absolutely flabbergasted if he's not a great player. There's just too many people that say he's that good. The problem is that, well, thinking over recent drafts, has the best wide receiver always gone before other wide receivers in the draft? I mean, Jefferson went fifth wide receiver in his draft. Addison dropped after Flowers was pretty good, but Addison's been a really great rookie last year. I think it's all situational. Is he going to get on with Jim? He's got Justin Herbert throwing him the ball if he goes at five, but I do think he's going to go at four.
Yeah, like I say, I feel like he's going at four. So, yeah, for you to have him going at five, considering four quarterbacks go in your first four picks, I think completely makes sense. For me, I'm guessing, Rich, you might go the same way as me, but number five, I have got Malik Nabers, LSU, going to the Chargers.
Great pick. I really like Nabers. I've watched a bit of his tape because I think if things don't go our way, then we like drafting wide receivers in the first round. So you never know. If he drops, if things don't go our way, there's an option there. I have not got him going at five, though. I've got Romo Dunze going to the Chargers. I think, as I've just said, the top five wide receivers in previous drafts have all gone in a slightly different order to what some people say and some people don't say. For me, with Jim coming from college and looking at the guy, he's a big, horrible, nasty player. I think he looks like the type of player that Jim is going to want Justin Herbert throwing the ball to. He gets good separation. He's not the quickest wide receiver in the draft, but he's big. He's 6'3". He looks like a big freight. Probably looks bigger than he actually is. So I think, you could pick him or you could pick Nabers or a couple of the wide receivers in any order, really. But I think with Harbers nouse out of college football, that's where I think the Chargers are going to go at five.
I like both those receivers. It's a bit give or take with either of them, isn't it, really? They're 2A and 2B, as far as I'm concerned, as receivers are in this draft. Normally, in any other draft, they would be the top receiver. They would be 1A and 1B. They would both be drafted first overall, if they were in separate drafts without Marvin Harrison Jr. But we've all spoke about how good this Marvin Harrison Jr. is, and unfortunately, they're going to be drafted the same year as him. So,
yeah, it's a tough one. I think realistically, you can look at either of our top five picks and say that could happen. That realistically could happen for all five of us. I know you guys are screwing your noses up at JJ going at two, but a quarterback is going to drop in this draft, and that is going to happen. That is a fact. Who that's going to be is anyone's guess at this stage. So we've gone through 1 to 5. I think the next sort of segment of the draft that everyone's going to be really interested in, if we've still got the pick, is all the way up to 11. So we're going to whiz through each of our mock drafts, positions 6 to 11. John, you're on the clock. Come on, tell us who you're picking.
With the 6th overall pick, the New York Giants pick Malik Nabers, wide receiver, LSU. With the 7th overall pick, the Tennessee Titans pick Joe Alt, offensive tackle. He's absolutely amazing. He's going to be the first offensive tackle to go. With the 8th overall pick, I've got Fashanu going to the Atlanta Falcons. They need to shore up their offline. He's really good, and it's pronounced Fashanu. No matter what some Americans seem to want to pronounce it, it is pronounced Fashanu. He says it that way. That is the way he wants it pronounced. We know how to pronounce the name Fashanu over here. I can tell you that. With the 9th overall pick, the Chicago Bears picking Latu, edge rusher, UCLA. With the 10th overall pick, I've got the Jets picking Brock Bowers, tight end, Georgia. And with the 11th overall pick, got the Cardinals, who traded with us. They traded down, got them picking up Romeo Odunze, Washington.
So the Cards do get their wide receiver in the end, and someone is going to be joining Kirk at the Atlanta to help him out. I don't think there's any massive surprises in there. All good players. Again, you could almost pick them at any order. Mine is ever so slightly different, obviously, because our GM is still sitting on pick 11 in my draft. What's going to happen? So at pick 6, I've got New York Giants taking Malik Nabers. Again, Odunze, Nabers, interchangeable. But I think that there is more needs in New York than a quarterback at the moment. So they're going to load up before thinking about that position. I've then got Tennessee Titans taking Talisse Fuga again. I think that the Titans have got some decent needs in their squad, and he's a good player. Atlanta, taking Turner. I've also got Latu going to the Bears at 9. And I've got Fashanu going to the Jets at 10, which means that Kwesi has held his nerve. Daniels has dropped way down the draft order, and we pick our quarterback at 11. Daniels to the Minnesota Vikings at 11. Now, is it a good move? I don't think I have actually picked him in or mentioned him in any podcast that we've previously done, but if Daniels falls to 11, you've got to take him. You've got to take that chance. We'll see what happens. Reese, come on, give us your 6 to 11.
I'd love it if Daniels fell to 11, but I do just feel like you're living in dreamland with that.
Yeah, I have to agree with Reese. You are living in cloud cuckoo land if you think Daniels is falling that far.
Someone's dropping, mate. Someone is dropping. And we just don't know who it is. Looking at everything, JJ Stock's really high. Everyone loves Drake's May. Everyone loves Caleb Williams, and he's definitely going to the Bears. I'm not hearing a lot of "I love Daniels." I'm hearing he does things well. I'm hearing that he can do this well, but I'm not hearing "I love Daniels," and that's where I think he's going to drop.
I've heard as much "I love Daniels" as I love JJ McCarthy's. I've heard it all, just following each person's pro day. I mean, we even heard "I love Michael Penix" quite a lot. So, you know, there's definitely a chance that any of them could fall, and so I have not got, of course, Daniels. I've got McCarthy still on the board with the 6th overall pick. The New York Giants select Romeo Odunze, wide receiver, Washington. You know, I agree, you know, completely interchangeable between him and Nabers. I just don't have that gap that John had, but you know, completely logical gap considering. As long as you don't get sniped, if he's here at 11, take him at 11. The 7th overall pick, agreeing with John again, though, I've got Joe Alt going to the Titans. In my opinion, best tackle in the draft. So, and I'm not alone thinking that. But then with the 8th overall pick, this is where things get interesting. Can the Falcons find another way to screw the Vikings? Trust me, in my mock draft, they do. They trade down with the Denver Broncos. They trade away the 8th overall pick in exchange for a 1st, 3rd, and 5th round pick from the Broncos. I put it through the calculator. It adds up. It's a little bit of an overpayment on the Broncos side of things. But come on, you know, Sean Payton, he loves to stick one in against us, and that's why we love beating him. I'm sure we love beating him even more next time we play. But I have the Broncos. Yep, they've traded up for JJ McCarthy out of Michigan. At 9, the Bears. I've got them taking Dallas Turner, you know, going edge, just like you said, but I've gone Dallas Turner. 10, Brock Bowers, Georgia. I think 95% of the mock drafts have got Brock Bowers, tight end out of Georgia, going to the Jets. And then the 11th overall pick, the Minnesota Vikings select Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo, the cornerback. I feel Casey, he's got some big kahunas, and he's going to hang tough a little bit longer whilst also picking up a major need. We need talent at corner. We need someone who can allow Byron Murphy, that's the current Byron Murphy, the one who's not in this draft, to play slot again. If Byron Murphy, who's in this draft, can play slot, That'd be amazing. But that's never going to happen because, well, he don't move like a slot. I've got us picking up a much needed position at cornerback.
Reese, you're a madman. We need a quarterback, and you've got the 11th overall pick. And instead of either trading back and getting some of your picks back or taking the best quarterback on the board or moving forwards, you've stayed at 11. You've let the Broncos snipe you with an overpay, and then you've picked up a cornerback. What is going on?
I guess I've watched too many Spielman drafts.
Yeah, I mean, we are wounded when it comes to cornerbacks in the draft. It is a need.
It's a huge need. And if we've got two picks, why not take the best cornerback in the draft? You've only had what? In all of our drafts, maybe one or two defensive players go by the point you're at 11. Take one of the best defensive players. You know, that might be Byron Murphy. It's a huge need, and it's something we really, really need to sort out. And if, you know, if there are quarterbacks you feel are going to slide, why not take the risk? You can still trade up again. You know, if you're worried someone's going to take you out, trade up again. Jump a little bit higher to make sure you get the quarterback that you want. But for me, I feel like there's a huge need at cornerback, and, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world if we go there at 11.
It's not, but when you've got someone on the board called Kool-Aid, I think if you're going to pick a cornerback, that's the one that you pick, just because he's the coolest sounding name in the draft. John, what do you think of Reese's rundown?
I do get it if that's the way the draft falls. Personally, I would take Byron Murphy if we were going to go defensive at 11. If we were going to go that way. That's who I've really fallen in love with on the defense in this draft. But yeah, I can very much see us drafting a cornerback. So that's the way we decide to go.
If he drafts a cornerback, and we, for some reason, don't get a quarterback in this draft, he's out of a job. He's going to be out of a job.
It's a huge gamble. It's a huge gamble, and you know that he's going to have a very antsy Kevin O'Connell leaning over his shoulder going, dude, what the heck did you do that for?
But it's almost as bad as picking a running back.
No, because we've seen, you know, we've made jokes about picking running backs. If you hit on a running back, we've been a franchise that's had two franchise backs in a row before the mess that we had last year. It's not by any means something that's bad to hit on if you can hit on one, but yeah, no running backs in the first round this time.
Well, I think top five for all of us was, you know, fairly realistic. I can't get on board with that being realistic, taking a quarterback at 11. You've got to go get your man. Surely you've got to go get your man. Although I didn't. And again, I think in a situation where a quarterback slides, and personally, I think it is going to be Daniels, sit tight at 11. Pick up your man on the cheap, and you've still got another first round draft. And that is a good thing. If you can pick two players in the first round this season, that is a good thing. And with all of the salary cap space we've got next year, fill the team with talent that way, looking into next year. So, yeah, I think...
Here's the thing, Rich. You've got Daniel sliding. And, you know, if any... And I include JJ McCarthy... If any of those top four quarterbacks slide to 11, yeah, absolutely picking them. But if they're not there, do you really see Penix or Bo Nix as 11th overall pick caliber? Do you not see that as a reach?
No, I agree. I wouldn't pick Bo Nix, and I wouldn't pick Penix or Rattler or anyone at 11. I think that's crazy. But I also think that at some point, even though, like I say, I've got a top four quarterback sliding. It's 50-50 whether that actually happens. It does happen. It happens in every draft. There's always a quarterback that slides. And if you've got pick 11, I suppose that's why you've got the option. That's why we've sat there and thought, well, if we've got two first rounders out of the quarterback needy teams, we're probably the best to trade with, because you can quite easily ask for three first rounders, two this year and one next year at a starting point. So if you're looking at Raiders, Broncos, Giants, you know, if anyone's going to be trading up, it's going to be us. But we, out of those teams, we are the most quarterback needy team. and we've got more weapons than anyone else. So you could excuse any of those teams for not taking a quarterback. And I would say that one of those top four quarterbacks is going to slide. You know, that's I just genuinely believe that's going to happen. So picking one up at 11 still might be a little bit of a reach. Say if it's JJ McCarthy that slides, you know, if you pick him up at 11, if it's, I mean, Drake May is not going to slide. Caleb Williams is not going to slide.
That's what I say. JJ McCarthy, if he slides to 11, I still feel you take him because I feel he's at that caliber. I think you are around the right pick for JJ McCarthy at 11. I can get why you trade up 4 or 5 to get McCarthy. I get why mock drafts have that happening. But in my mind, that's a panic pick. That's a panic trade. You know, it's a bit like signing. It's a bit like signing Andy Carroll on deadline day.
Yeah, who would be that foolish? But anyway, personally, I do agree that JJ could slide down to 11, but I don't think he will because if he starts to slide down, I reckon someone will come up, either the Broncos or the Raiders, and they will do a trade with the Bears, and the Bears will try and screw us over. We could offer them 3 first-rounders for exactly what the for half of what the other teams are offering, and they're like, no, we don't want you getting your franchise quarterback from our pick.
This is the only reason I had them trading with the Falcons, is because I feel like you could trade with the Bears or the Falcons, and whoever in my mind was not the one who trades back out of those two is going to take the best edge rusher in the draft. That's where I feel, and that's how I feel about Dallas Turner. And I feel like, you know, whoever got there is going to take him.
I've already mentioned the Chargers at 5, and they've got their franchise quarterback, and they need a couple of weapons. I think if someone's going to trade back, the expectation would be that Harbour has got a very, very good understanding of college players. And then therefore, he's going to have a very, very good understanding of this year's draft. So if he was going to pick up 2 firsts, he'd be chomping at the bit, wouldn't he? He'd be frothing at the mouth thinking, I can pick 2 excellent caliber players I know lots and lots and lots about. So if someone was going to trade back, I don't think the Cards trade back. I think they just have to take the best player because their GM and their whole franchise will be under a lot of scrutiny with some of their recent picks. But the Chargers have got a bit of a free rein. You know, Jim can do whatever he wants. He's going to be safe for the next 2 or 3 years. If he trades back and picks up 2 diamonds, you know, unsuspected diamonds in the first round, he might even trade back. And then if he trades back with us, trade back again. And get more picks because he knows all these college players. You know, I think that's not an unreasonable situation to happen.
I think the Harbour thing is people forget one thing. Does he hold a grudge against the Minnesota Vikings for not giving him that head coaching job 2 years ago? Because that's the only thing that stops me thinking that he would trade with the Vikings if there's a grudge. Because like you say, it makes perfect sense. But if there is no grudge, then yeah, I could really see him trading back with us. If there's a grudge, there's no way he's trading to us.
I think he'll want at least 3 first-rounders and plus change. But I think the grudge will be lifted once he gets all his picks. And like I said, loads of draft capitals to he'll have a big list. He'll have a list of who he thinks can definitely make it in the NFL and who he can get. So I don't think that's an unreasonable situation to happen.
So Reese, we've done the draft now, but you've not picked a quarterback. Whereabouts are you picking, and who are you picking?
This might come as a surprise to some listeners who know I have a big admiration for a certain quarterback out of Oregon. But I feel like Bo Nix is going to slide out the first round. And I feel like with the 23rd overall pick, the Minnesota Vikings will select Michael Penix Jr., quarterback, Washington. Some guys rate him higher than McCarthy in just pure talent. I know there are concerns over the medicals. If he slides to 23, maybe there's more reason to be concerned. if he was to slide out the first round, I'd have serious red flags about him and his injuries. But I feel like he is exceptionally talented. His pro day, he lit it up. He looks like an incredible thrower of the ball. Arguably the second best passer in the draft. But the injury, the histories, the age, they all count against him. And that's where the difference is. But don't forget, in the championship game, we saw a design run from Washington with Penix. You know, this is a guy who has got athleticism. And if he has healed up well, could be an absolute steal at 23.
I was ready for it. When the crowd say, Bo, select him. I thought at 23, Bo Nix was on your board all day long. But I can't pick Penix. I can't. If I was a GM, with the way he was being banged up over the years, I couldn't. I understand that he's very good at playing football, but with his injury record in the NFL, he's off my draft board.
I can see him falling that far, and it is a tight one between the two, between Nix and Penix. It's very tight. They're very much 5A and 5B as the QBs there. It's whatever fits your system better. And I think if we go that way, I think Penix fits our system a little better.
I feel like he has the potential, if you compare him just as a standing quarterback without any mobility, which I think like he's got mobility back and he's shown that in flashes. And, you know, if you can keep him upright in the pocket, I feel like, you know, you might get a quarterback of the caliber of Stafford, of Matt Hasselbeck. How often did Matt Hasselbeck leave the pocket?
Whatever.
No, and he's still a solid quarterback, had a long career. And I feel like with the team that we've got now, we don't, you know, if you can build the defense correctly, keep B-flow and give him the tools he wants, I feel like the offense is set up to, if you can keep a quarterback clean, go do something spectacular. Not in the first year. I still think whoever it is will sit behind Darnold for at least half the year. But, you know, what is wrong with shooting for the stars, even if it's a bit of an older quarterback? You've still got a position that takes longer to get into their prime. A guy in a position that plays to an older age. And he's still going to be on that rookie contract. That's the cheap money. And he's going to be even cheaper than a pick at 11 or 4th overall because, we all know the way that money works in the NFL and how where you are picked in the draft makes a huge difference to what contract you're given.
Yeah, I totally get that, but again, I just, he's too beat up. He's too much of a risk for me, so I can't. Everyone's gonna obviously wait to see who I picked at 23, considering I still had that pick left. I think there's a few players that are still on the board and any of them could potentially come to us. I want Byron Murphy, but Jared Verse is still there. Powers Johnson is still there. Kool-Aid McKinstry is still there. So any
what
of those
What is going
players,
on in your draft that all those guys are still there?
Well, remember, I've only outlined my picks up to 11. So there's still a few guys left on my board. I think, you know, wide receivers are going to be a need at the top of the draft, and everyone likes a wide receiver draft. So one of those, I think, in my draft scenario is going to drop to 23 because there's not enough picks. Otherwise, you know, people have to pick players. But we are going to be posting our top 5, top 10 graphics on social media. Remember, this is a safe space. Everyone needs to be nice to each other. But give us your opinions. See what you think about our mock draft. See what you think is going to happen at 11. See what you think is going to happen at 23. Even top 5, you know, we're interested to hear it. But I think that just about wraps it up, doesn't it, gents?
Well, apart from the fact you didn't tell us who we're actually going to pick.
Well, I've got Byron Murphy on as 23, whether he drops that far. Again, this was a mock draft simulator, so I'm unbiased. He happened to be on the board at 23, and if he's there at 23, if people are daft enough not to pick him, then you'd be stupid not to take him. So
bite their hand off. Your hand is the bite the hand off ideal draft.
Exactly.
Two first round picks, a top 3 quarterback somehow at 11. You know, that's where things are.
Exactly.
But yeah, I feel like we've wrapped it up quite nicely.
Cool. Well, next week, there'll be something else to talk about. We are so close to the draft. I can taste it. I can taste it. John, tell us about what's going to happen on draft night.
Talking about mock draft, we've done all our mock drafts now. If you're interested in watching the draft and you are around the London area, I will be heading to the Hippodrome for the draft night. For draft night with a few other Vikings fans. We're meeting up with the Jets fan club there. So it should be a really good night. Not often that Vikings get to pick at the top of the draft, towards the top of the draft. Normally we're lower, we're much further down. So yes, this is an experience I'm looking forward to, it being at this high up in the draft. I'm looking forward to seeing what we do on the night. So yeah, it's always a good night at the Hippodrome when you've got all the NFL fans around there. It's brilliant night, brilliant atmosphere. Come and join us.
I will say about the Jets fan club, they love their tradition. So if you're there with the Jets fan club, make sure you boo their draft pick.
Yeah, I mean, they're a great bunch of guys, and the Hippodrome always look after us when we're down there. So good place to watch NFL in London. I will be screaming into a pillow on my own in the living room while the kids are in bed, depending on what happens on draft night. But if you want to follow along and comment, I'm sure we'll have a live Facebook feed. Not live, God, no one wants to see me in my pajamas watching the draft, but we'll have a live Facebook post that you can comment on at every moment of the draft. So follow us on social media. Reese, have you got the details?
Yep, as always, it's at UK Vikings fans on all the social medias. And if you want to reach out to the podcast, you can email us at UKVikesPod, that's UKVikesPod @gmail.com. And if you want a bit more of our content, maybe we point you towards a little bit more NFL in the UK on a podcast. Check out Boldy and the Big Fella, who we were recently on their podcast, sharing all things about the fan club and what it is being a Vikings fan in the UK. And, well, what we might do there if you want to hear more draft talk too.
Yeah, great show. Great show. I listened to it this week. Reese, you represented the club very well amongst a couple of Northeasterners talking about the NFL. Probably best I didn't go on that show, because guaranteed one of them was going to be a Middlesbrough or Newcastle fan. So, yeah, best keep me out of that conversation. Anyway, we've got the raffle prize as well that's going to go up shortly for the Jordan Addison signed mini helmet. So keep an eye on our socials for that. But I think that's it for this week. So in a time-honoured tradition, say goodbye, gentlemen.
Goodbye, gentlemen.
Goodbye, gentlemen.
Magic. Thanks for listening. See you next week. Cheers. Ta-ra.